Father God, we just thank you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for everything that you have done and everything you are doing in our midst today. But Father God, we just thank you for each and every person that's here, that's listening to this service or watching us on the internet. We thank you, Father, for the anointing of God being there with them. And we thank you, Father, that as we speak the word, we thank you, Father, that help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Father God, we thank you that you'll help us to be able to take that word and go out to the highways and the byways, the people that are down and out, and share the word, the good news with them. And Father God, we thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. Father, we thank you today as we go to speak your word. We thank you we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the anointing that's here tonight that saturates each and every one of us. We thank you, Father, that anointing was life-changing. And Father God, we thank you for mom and dad as they're there in Arizona. We thank you for healings taking place. We thank you for miracles taking place. And we thank you, Father, for giving them strength. We thank you, Father, for touching their bodies. We thank you, Father, for helping them in that service. And we thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Well, it's wonderful to be able to be here with you here on a Wednesday night. And of course, Wednesday night is kind of more like a Bible study. And tonight, we're going to talk about the subject of love. You know, obviously, and I'm not going to turn at this scripture, but Jesus, you know, whenever he was asked what the greatest commandments were by a young man, Jesus said, there's really only two commandments. One, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your understanding. And I found that most people have no trouble with that one. They're good about the God love one. But he said the second one is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Now, you know, I've had people tell me, kind of smiling about it, well, I just have trouble with my love walk. You know, that's nothing to be happy about. You just told me you break half the commandments that Jesus commanded us. Amen. And you're happy about that? I mean, Jesus said, you know, just like loving God, loving our neighbor is the same thing. That's right. And your neighbor is not the people next door, okay? Some people say, well, I'm good on that one. I love my neighbors, but it's people I work with, man. I have trouble with that. You know, someone says, well, I'm okay with my neighbors. It's my husband or wife that I just can't deal with. Well, that's her issues. All right, you know, your neighbor is anyone that you come in contact with. And I believe whether it be physically contact or now in the world that we live with social media, you contact with them in that realm as well. You know, now we all know this. How many of you are old enough to remember Mr. Rogers? Mr. Rogers? Remember his theme song, The Wonderful Day in the Neighborhood? Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Won't you be mine? Won't you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Then he would say, hello, neighbor. So, you know, anyone who watched him on TV was his neighbor. All right. Your neighbor is not the person who lives next to you. I mean, he might be. That might be, or she might be, that's your neighbor as well. Maybe they're your close neighbor. I don't know. But anybody that you come in contact with, the Bible and Jesus says you got to love those people. Well, what if they're irritating? You got to love those people. What if they do irritating things? You got to love those people. What if they do hurtful things? Well, you know what? Someone once said this, and it's a great, great quote, and you always remember this. Hurting people do hurtful things. You know, a lot of times people do hurtful things because they're hurting themselves. Now, what I do, the way that helps me, my love walk, is I make excuses for people. I'm like, well, maybe they had a bad day. There you go. Maybe they had a bad day like 365 days in a row. I don't know. Some people keep having bad days. I don't know.
I mean, you know, sometimes I don't know what kind of excuse to make. I just like, well, God loves him, but I have to love him anyway. I mean, you know, it doesn't do any good to hold a grudge against somebody except for make you angry. Making you angry doesn't do anything for you. It doesn't help you. I found out, you know, and then sometimes whenever you get angry, you have people who argue on, help you get more angry. I'm talking about other Christian brothers and sisters. You call them on the phone, and you're all angry, and instead of helping your love walk, they're helping your anger walk. Well, remember, they did this, and they did this, and they, you know, they're giving you all kinds of reasons to be more and more angry. How's that helping anybody? All it's doing is driving a bigger wedge between you and that other person. You know, it's not going to help resolve anything. You know, so I want to read tonight from the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to read it from the New Living Translation because, you know, kind of modern day translation, modern day spin on it. Some of you maybe have never even read this translation. We're going to try to go through as much as we can and kind of examine some things. And we've all read this. We've all heard these, but we still don't always walk it out. You know, and until we can, see, what happens is it can't be up here. It can't be memorization. A lot of times what happens when it comes to Bible verses, we memorize them. We can spit them out. This is the day the Lord has made. I can rejoice and be glad in it. That's great. Then how come you're not rejoicing in your day? That was just a verse that you said. You know, actions speak louder than words. Don't tell me what you can say, because it's easy to say, well, you know what, I love you, I forgive you. That's easy to say those words. It's different to actually do it. All right? You say, well, yeah, but it's hard. Not in Christ. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. The problem is you're walking in your own strength and not in the strength of God. See, when you're having issues, you have to turn to God. You have to renew your mind. The Bible says renew your mind daily, and I think some of you need to renew your mind as much as you eat. If you eat three times a day, then renew your mind three times a day at least. If you like to eat those power meals, you know, six times a day, well, that's what you renew your mind six times a day. I don't know. Maybe every time you eat, you should renew your mind. That will help you. Because you forget to do it yourself, so maybe, you know, every time you eat, renew your mind. Quit thinking how you think and think how God thinks. You know, and if you can't love him in your own strength, you just have to think, well, God loves him, so I should love him anyway. Anyway, it starts out, it says, if I can speak in all the languages of earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, so if I can speak in every tongue imaginable, whether it be a spiritual tongue or a natural tongue, but I didn't love people, I would be a noisy gong. Now, some of you probably don't know, I'm going to say this, a lot of you maybe have no clue, but I used to be a percussionist. I used to play in a band. No, not a rock band or whatever. I'm talking about the high school band, all right? You know. So, you know, we played the drums, you know, the snare drum, the bass drum, even the bells, the timpanis. But my favorite was to play the crash cymbals. It's a whole lot better than playing the triangle. You know, one song I really hated was the theme from Ice Castle. Anyone remember that? You know, it's like eight measures of rest, and then every measure it's like ding on the triangle. It's all we did was ding, ding. Finally, we come up with the snare drum about 26 measures into the song. I mean, most boring song to ever play. But you know, the Star Spangled Banner is a great song. Dun 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 dun. Let's see. You know, the crash cymbals. Now, you know, my band teacher, a lot of times we would actually crash, and they would want it to make sure we resonate. So in order to do that, we would hold both cymbals out over the tuba section. Now, they didn't like it a whole lot, but see, what happens is a clinging cymbal, and the crash cymbal out there is a clinging cymbal. The other cymbals aren't really clinging. I mean, you know, they sound loud, but if you want to make noise, hit the crash cymbal. In fact, I'll tell you what, if you want to irritate somebody who you love, buy their kids a drum set or buy their kids any kind of crash cymbal type situation, you know, And it's very irritating. But what this verse is saying, it doesn't matter if you are the smartest person in the world, can speak with every language possible, can speak with most spiritual person in the world, speak in every tongue possible. If you don't love people, you're irritating. Don't be irritating. Don't be a spiritual irritant. A lot of people are very spiritual minded, but they're very irritating because they don't love people. I mean, you can get up here and say the best prayer, with the most fluent and, in whatever voice you want to put on, but it's irritating. Now, I'm assuming it's irritating to God as well as men. It's irritating, so don't be irritating. Moral of the story. All right? It goes on to say, if I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans. I mean, that's when Jesus is coming back. I mean, that's the secret plans. I mean, everything was saying, and possessed all knowledge. And if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. You can be a know-it-all, literally. Actually know everything in the world. Be as smart as God. But if you didn't have the love of God, you wouldn't be anything. This verse is saying a whole lot. But a lot of, I mean, I know people who are proud that they're not very good with their love walk. And, and they'll always say, well, it's my upbringing, or it's my, I'm Italian. Italians are just not nice people or whatever. Or they have a temper. I didn't say that, folks, in case you happen to be Italian heritage or whatever, or are people, I'm German, I'm this. The deal is, once you've been born again, you're of Christ. Amen. There is no difference. There is no Italian or Greek or Hebrew or I mean, there's nothing. I mean, there is no nationalities. We're all one in the family. And we get reminded of that when we sing, we're one in the family, one in the Lord. Anyway, we're all the same. There is no Italian heritage or whatever heritage, that gets mad at people. I don't know. I mean, there is none of that. See, what happens is you're not relating to who you really are, because who you are is who you are in Christ, not who you really are. It doesn't matter what you came from. It doesn't matter, what your heritage was. It doesn't matter what your ancestors did. What matters is what God did, what Jesus Christ did on Calvary for you. That's what really matters. And what matters is you have to see people like Christ sees them. And that's, for some people it's hard to do. I don't care if you can do everything and all knowledge, but you don't love people, you're nothing. Unfortunately, I know a lot of people who are nothing. I also know a lot of people who think they're know-it-alls. I mean, they don't really know everything, they just think they know everything. Someone might comment on your Facebook as well. Anyway, I'm not even going to go there. All right. It says, if I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. I mean, when it's talking about sacrificing your body, I don't care how much you sacrifice for God. I don't care what you've done. If you don't love people, you've done it all in vain. Because you're not gaining anything. You're not moving ahead. You haven't got a hold of what Christ really did. You haven't got a hold of the love that he had when he was on the earth. You haven't got a hold of the love that he had. First of all, the love that God had to send his only son to the earth. And the love that he had to sacrifice his own self on the earth for you and I. So that we can have life and have it more abundant. So that we can be healed. We can be set free. And we can live eternal life. He sacrificed a lot. And no matter what you ever sacrifice, whether it be your time, your money, your talents, your life, it's worthless if you don't love people. In fact, I think some people are wasting time being Christians if they're not going to love people, because you can't be a real Christian if you don't love people. Because you're not Christ-like. I mean, You should have got that when you went to children's church on Sunday school and you sang the song that Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world. So if you're going to be like Jesus, you've got to love people. Well, I love kids. Kids grow up. And let me just be honest. I mean, you know, from someone who has kids and, you know, have grandkids or whatever, kids are awesome, but they also can be irritating too. They can test your love walk sometimes. You know, but you still love them. But they can test you. Anyway, it goes on to say, love is patient. Now, here's what that means. I want to put this out there. Love keeps loving when people do not love them back over and over and over and over again. You keep loving them and they keep not loving you, but you're patient. That's what that means. Yeah, but you know, well, three strikes and they're out. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that, you know, it doesn't even say 70 times 7 here. It says patient, you know, if you're patient, you're going to wait it out. However long it takes. You know, and then it says that love is kind. Well, yeah, love is kind, but it's not easy to be kind when someone's not kind to you. See, someone said, oh, I'm good at being kind. Yeah, you're good at being kind when people are kind to you. Love is kind when people are not kind. Now, to be able to come back with someone with love when they spill out hatred is not an easy thing to do. But you can do it. You can do it. If you put your body under, you put your mind under, because, you know, your mind's going to want to give them a piece of your mind. But you know what? If you have the mind of Christ, it's not your mind to give them anyway. And if you give them the mind of Christ, it's not going to be hateful. It's always kind, because we know Jesus always spoke kind words. I mean, he was always kind. He always wanted to help people. You know, and we're not going to be perfect. Folks, I'm not perfect. I want to let you know. I'm not perfect. All right, I'll be the first one to admit it. My wife will be the second one to admit it. But we love each other. You know, and sometimes we have spoken some unkind words. Her more than me. I'm just kidding. Maybe so, because maybe I've been the one being unkind, so she fucked up. Anyway, but, you know, here's the deal. It's natural human. You know, we're all, let's just put it on level, we're all natural human people. Everyone natural human people? Yeah. Lift your hand if you are. Okay, we have a lot of robots in here or aliens. We need to do some kind of, I mean, because I just asked how many people over here are human, and I got about 20% of the people raise their hand. I'm really kind of in awe. I mean, maybe we need to, I don't know what to do. This is like incredible. I've never had so little people raise their hand on something that everybody's included in, and everybody knows they're included in. I mean, man, if you don't think you're naturally a human person, we have an issue. We're all natural humans. We all have human emotions, all right? So what's going to happen is whenever all of a sudden anger is going to rise up in our heart. All right, that's natural. I mean, I'm not saying that. But what happens is whenever the anger comes in, that's whenever we have to renew our mind. We have to get to the point when the anger comes in, we have a choice. Because when the anger comes in, because it comes in here, you know, because it's not coming down here. Your heart's not full of anger. It's coming from the outside. It's coming because of the things that you've experienced, the conversations you've experienced, the things that you've seen that maybe caused you to get angry whenever, you know, someone did something that you were not real happy about. And so that all comes in, and when it comes in and hits you, you're faced with a choice. You can renew your mind and be nice, or you can explode. It's your choice. No, I'm not, you know, but even if you do explode, as soon as you explode, at some point in time, you got to stop yourself. You know, I'm not going to get on to anyone for being natural or being human. We all do things we shouldn't do. But at some point in time, you got to say, I should have done that. Even if you called somebody and gave them a piece of your mind, at some point in time, you need to stop calling back and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. But they deserved it. That doesn't matter. The Bible doesn't say give people what they deserve. If God gave us what we deserved, we wouldn't be here. It's not about what we deserve. See, here's the deal is we want it both ways. We want what we don't deserve, but don't want to give others what they don't deserve. Yeah, but they're a Christian. They should know better. So, I mean, that doesn't make any difference.
Amen.
People are people. Whether it's your Christian neighbor, your Muslim neighbor, your Jewish neighbor, it doesn't matter who they are. Or your atheist neighbor, you still got to love them. They might have to believe like them, but you still have to love them. You have to show love and kindness toward them, no matter who they are. If you want to freak some people out, well, if there's some people in your street that don't really necessarily believe like you believe, you know what? Go over there and bake them some cookies, or if you can bake cookies, good, okay? I mean if you can't bake, don't bake cookies. Go buy cookies. All right, because, you know, why I said that, I'm thinking, man, there's some people out here that probably can't bake. But go do something nice for them. In spite, you know, because there's no reason to hate them. You know, because we should love them no matter what. Anyway, so love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous. Now, you know what? This is where a lot of Christians get. Because I've seen people believe in God for a certain thing, money, a new car, or whatever they're believing, you know, a house. Somebody else gets that, and they get mad. They get jealous. Well, I've been believing God for that, for a new car, twice as long as you've been believing God for a new car. And I'm a better Christian. I pay more money to the church. I volunteer more. I do this, I do that, I do. You know, it's not about what you do. You know, don't get jealous. I mean, you know, my thing is, and I had a situation like that where I was believing God for a new car and somebody else got one. One of those teachers here, he's no longer a teacher here, great guy. He wasn't believing God for a new car. He got a new car. And I asked him, I said, were you believing God for a new car? No. Someone blessed him anyway. Well, you know, my first thought instead of saying that's awesome was like, I never expressed this to not one person, but on the inside I started thinking, well, that's not fair. I've been believing God for a new car for about 6 months. He hadn't believed God for a new car at all. Someone just comes, you know, now the other side about it, he couldn't pick the color he wanted because someone just drove it off of a lot and brought it down here. They were from another state. Drove here and said, well, I know you like this kind of certain kind of car, so I thought you might want a new one. Well, I didn't want that same kind of car, but I would have took it. I'm like, maybe they missed it. Maybe they should have drove by my, you know, come and see me. So no, but at first I had, you know, it was like, I was getting angry. And then on the inside, on the inside, I started to think, you know what? Hey, I need to rejoice with others. But then I called next. You know, because, you know, I know over here at NRC, we used to have coffee bank, you know, where people play pool, say, I got next game, or people at the in basketball, hey, I got next game, you know, whatever. Some of the people line their quarters up, you know, got the next game. I decided to call the next car. And then I went to just gentlemen and said, hey, can I get a ride in your new car? I mean, you know, and rejoice with them. But you know what? I see a lot of Christians get jealous. Getting jealous and stuff, that's a good way to miss out on your blessing. Don't get jealous about it. Love is not jealous. You know, hey, they can't help it. They got a new car. Whatever. It says, love not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. You know, a lot of times we like to rub things in people's faces. Hey, look what God did for me. Now, just because somebody put a testimony on Facebook doesn't mean they're trying to rub it in your face, okay? Because I've seen some people say, well, you know, well, you shouldn't be so bragging about something. You know, just, you know, it's not bragging to tell good, how good God is, all right? But amen. There are some people that rub it in people's face. I've seen it. You've seen it. We've all seen it, except for those of you that are not human out here. You, I don't know they did that in your planet, whatever planet you're from. All right. But here on Earth, I've seen people rub things in people's face. You know, whatever. That's not love. Now, you know, love is not rude. I mean, you know, we've all said rude things. And I never said, man, that was in love. Saying rude things is not love. You know, a lot of people, I have heard people say a lot of things that are a little rude, and they said, oh, I was just joking. But you know what? I don't think they were. You know, the buns of a heart, the mouth speaketh. A lot of times people, when they, you know, and sometimes they'll have a lot of cutting jokes that they're very rude, you know, and you know, they offend people. Not to, you know, I don't get offended, you know, because, you know, I don't care what you say, babe. I'm not going to get offended. I don't really care. I'm going to love you anyway. You know, but it's not, I get offended for other people that, you know, when I see somebody else saying a lot of rude comments about them. Oh, I'm just joking. It's all in joke. But it's not joking. You know, it's rude. Don't be rude. Rude is not full of love. And remember, loving one another is one half. Of the, you know, a commandment is not a suggestion. Jesus didn't give us two suggestions. He gave us commandments. Commandment is something you shout, do it. This is something that you should do. Not, well, you know what? Do the best you can, folks. Because I think some people think, you know what? That they think that Jesus is saying, well, just try to do good on your love walk. And, you know, sometimes you'll do good. Sometimes you'll do bad. But just try to do good. No, Jesus says, do good. And here's the deal, is because he knows you can do all things in his strength. So if you start looking to him, you will do good. When you start looking to others, and you start looking to how irritating you're feeling, things come out are not going to be good. Now, rude might be a good word, but loving is not going to be a good word. All right. It goes on to say, it does not demand its own way. Wow. I mean, I know people that are like, you know what? If you don't do it my way, I'm taking my ball home. You know, there are people in the church, I'm not saying this one, but, you know, other churches, you know, when they're some of the board members or whatever, they're having a project, you know, this guy donated a bunch of money to it. Well, if you don't do it my way, I'm taking my money back. I mean, we hear that all the time. And these pastors say, you know what? I got a board member who wants to do it his way. And, you know, this is not Burger King, folks. This is a church. All right. It's more important to do it God's way, not your own way anyway. If you're trying to live life your own way, you're going to get in this mess. Anyway, but, you know, it does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. So you irritating people, that's not love. If people say you're irritating, you're not full of love. But this is my favorite. It keeps no record of being wronged. Now, I've heard people tell me, they said, you know what, Craig? I forgave him, but I'll never forget it. Means you're keeping a record. Now, I just started thinking about this on my way here. I'm thinking, you know what? What if God was just like us? And he kept a record for everything we did wrong. Some of our lists would be really long. You know, it would be really long. Now, here's what I found out with a lot of good Christian brothers and sisters. You know, we forgive people, supposedly, but the next time they mess up, not only we get mad at them from this time, and then we bring back the last time, too. Well, if you bring back the last time, too, you're keeping a record of wrong. You know, you're not forgetting about it. You got to forget about it. Yeah, but he did that. It's ingrained in my memory. Well, ingrain Jesus in your memory. And take that person's name out. Yeah, but they've done, I don't care what they've done. It didn't say, keep no record along, but if someone did this, this, or this, go ahead and keep that record. The Bible didn't say that. It didn't say, well, you know, it, you know, in fact, there's no major sins and minor sins, but there's just sins. Now, we have a sin scale, our own sin scale, but that's what we put them on. Well, you know, a lie, that's not that big a deal. Killing someone, that's a big deal. They're both big deals. You know, but we're really good about keeping record of wrong. And until you can start forgetting about it, I don't know if you really love people. Say, well, I can't. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you.
Amen.
See, the thing is, you need to get healed. You need internal healing. If you can't get rid of it, then you need to work on your own self. It's not about what the person did. It's about what you need to do. And I found out, if you're, you know, keeping your big computer back in here so long, pretty soon it's gonna really irritate you too much. Get rid of your record. Get rid of your record. So, oh yeah, but I'm not really keeping one. But it sure pops up whenever that person does something else. I mean, I know back when I was doing being a youth pastor, I had this girl came to me and she's crying. And she said, you know what? Every time that I do something wrong now, my dad always brings this and this and this and this and this up, which I didn't know anything about this and this and this. And she's telling me about, you know, so what can I do? I read him the script. I said, you know, not when you're in trouble, but sometime whenever everyone's in a good mood, why don't you and your dad read these scriptures together? You know, and said, you know, Dad, this really bothers me because you keep a record of wrong. And so what happens is it's shameful for this young woman because she's has got over these things in her own mind, but this other people keep bringing them back up. Hey, you know what? The 10% of you who are actually human beings, we all do things wrong. That's maybe why you got the red guys didn't raise your hand, because you never do anything wrong. You're not a human being. You're a space alien, you know, or whatever. So, all right. Anyway, it does not rejoice about the injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. You know, I've seen people rejoice when somebody else, something bad happened to somebody else. Well, they deserved it. No, they didn't. They didn't deserve it. There's nothing to rejoice about because something bad happened to somebody. You know, that's not love to rejoice in that. It's not love, you know, to rejoice in anything like that. You know, my grandfather said, putting another man's candle out will never make yours any brighter. You know, rubbing it in their face is not going to make you any better. All right, but it says, whenever the truth wins out, love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love keeps loving people regardless of what's coming back. It never loses faith. It just keeps going and keeps going. It's like the Energizer Bunny. That's how you have to love. That's a God kind of love. You just keep loving. You keep loving, and you keep loving, and you keep loving. Now, I said, you know, we just had, you know, Todd White here the other day, and if you don't know anything about Todd, you need to watch his testimony. It's on YouTube. And his testimony, I mean, he was a drug addict. I mean, he wasn't a good guy. He said, I stole money from every one of my relatives. So, you know, after he got saved and, you know, he made a change toward God, none of his relatives believed it. And he didn't like to go back home, you know, go to Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas dinner to be around his relatives because they all hated him. And I'll let him know about it. But he said, you know what, I would just love them. I would just love them. And you know what, because I could even, I understand why they're mad at me. I didn't do good toward them. I understand. But I just would, every time they would hate him, he would love them back. Well, soon, one by one, they all got saved. Awesome. Because his love never ran out. His love never faded away. He says, you know, and there are many times when I have to go to my car not to argue with some of my relatives or whatever, not to fight back. But you know what? I just prayed for them. Just kept loving them. Because, you know, because they, you know, you understand, you know, a lot of people get saved and they supposedly change and then they don't. And then, you know, so that's what all his relatives are like, oh yeah, you got a hold of God now. So now you're going to take more money from us or whatever. But you know what? What he had was truthful. And truthful love keeps on going through all circumstances. All circumstances means it doesn't matter what kind of things have hit. Doesn't matter how bad a situation you got yourself into. It doesn't matter that it seems that it's piled on bad stuff. You know, you keep loving them. And you keep loving them. And you keep loving. Because love never fails. Love never fails. Love's not always easy, but it never fails. You know, that's why you have to put your mind under. Anyway, love endures through every circumstance. Remember that. Every circumstance. It says, prophecy and speaking unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Our knowledge is now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child, but when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. And I know, and all that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely just as God knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Amen. Now, you know, I understand that our ministry, faith is probably the biggest thing we preach. But the greatest thing that everyone would say that my grandfather had operating in his life was love. And my dad has a little mini book out there called Faith Worketh by Love. You know, it's not about your faith walk, it's about your love walk. And I really am kind of tired of people kind of say, yeah, I'm working on my love walk. Well, the problem is you need to quit working and start doing. Well, you know, I'll try. We'll quit trying. And start letting God lead you. Start finding out who you are in Christ. Start looking at things not with your natural eyes, but with your spiritual eyes. You know, because naturally, I understand. I get it. I get it. We get mad. I get it when people are frustrated. I mean, you know, I'm a human being like 10% of you guys out there. And hopefully 100% of you that are watching this on the internet are all human beings, but 10% of us up here. I get it. I have natural emotion. You have natural emotion. But you know what? Love conquers all. All we got to do is start loving people more. You know, and every time you have an opportunity to be mad, I challenge you to put your body under, to put your mind under, and to reach out in love. And I guarantee you, it'll change people's perspective. Not everyone can do it, because not everyone really can put Christ first. Usually we put our own thoughts and our own needs first. You know what? It's half the commandments that Jesus gave to you. Love everybody. Just like you love yourself. And that's a whole other subject. Some of you don't love yourself. That's why you can't love other people. We'll talk about that later on. All right. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these kind folks. And we thank you, Father, for just helping to remind us that we can love everybody. We can love one another. And Father, help us each and every time that we're faced with a situation where anger could prevail. Help us to put our mind under. Help us to put our body under. And help only love come out in that situation. Father, we just thank you right now that if there are some people out there right now that have gone through situations where they've, man, been spewing a lot of hatred instead of a lot of love, Father God, help them to change the situation right now in their heart. And as they begin to change in their heart, their situation will change. As they begin to pour out love, they'll see a difference in their life. And Father God, we just thank you to help them to be able to do that. Help them to just say, God, I'm just going to give it to you. I'm going to put those things under. I'm going to give it to you because I can't do it anymore. And quit trying to do it, but just let God. Let go and let God. Father God, just touch them right now. We just thank you right now to help us and our situations as we're facing life in the future. To every time we come to a place and a time where we could spew hatred, and help us to put the hatred under and to spew out love in every circumstance, in every situation. Help love conquer our mind. Father, we just thank you for everything you've done for us, and we just give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.